Bush and Richie here with your Daily Takeaway podcast. Before we get into the show, can I ask you a question about the hosepipe ban?
Yes.
Because we've got a hosepipe. Has everyone got the hosepipe ban now?
We've got a hosepipe ban, yes.
We've got a hosepipe ban. And it's a real shame because I was getting into looking after my lawn, which is quite unusual for me. Normally, I couldn't give a monkey's. I'd rather tarmac it. Mm. But I've been doing a bit of sprinkling, not like that, each evening with a sprinkler, which is great. And then obviously can't do it anymore. Here's my question, right? Because I worry now that having looked after our lawn, and it's in quite a good state for a bit, I'm going to be stopped in my tracks and it's all going to go like that tub of dry straw that you used to have on a sports day in like 1982.
Yes.
Right? Would anyone know if I went out there and did nighttime watering with a hose pipe? Like 1 o'clock in the morning, sneak out the back with a hose pipe. Who's going to know? Would they know?
Yes, would be the answer.
Oh, would they?
I'll give you the two reasons why. One, your lawn would look green.
A little bit like Rod Stewart's golf course that was on the news this morning.
Yeah. So your lawn would look green compared to any of your neighbours if they sent the drone up.
Would that be enough to get me the fine, do you think? Just suspiciously green lawn?
I think it would, because then secondly, they'd be able to check your smart water meter, which would show that you're using a sprinkler.
I just say I'm using a lot of... I drink a lot of water. I'm good with me hydration. I don't think they'd know.
There
you go.
There you go.
That's it. That's
there
all
you
I'm saying.
Go. Are you not saying you're doing it?
I'm not saying I'm doing it. I'm just saying, would they be able to stop me?
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
We need to start the show by returning to something that came into the show last night.
Yes, we really... Oh, hello.
Oh, hello there.
Hello. Oh. Hello.
What's happened to him?
Hello. Tiny little... It's in the corner. Here I am.
It just had to clear the pipes. Oh, I don't know what that was.
What's going on there?
I thought you were adding to the last night memory effect by going all echoey.
By actually broadcasting from yesterday.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yes, this text came in during yesterday's show. We have to talk more about it because it's struck a chord with us. Bush and Richie, I'm constantly having to replace phone chargers in my house. Between the missus leaving them at work and my teenagers leaving them at their friends' houses, I must have bought 15 phone chargers this year already.
Ooh.
And then they mock me for writing dad on them. Now, that is just peak dad behaviour doing that.
It's really interesting because both my dad and my father-in-law are both very protective about their charger when they come and visit. Like, they double-check that they've brought their charger with them. Because I think they're so used to... Dads are just so hurt and wounded by having chargers nicked off them by the kids.
I am very protective about my charger. I don't let anyone else charge with mine.
I'm getting mine nicked already by our middle daughter, who's 7, uses it to charge her Nintendo Switch. Mm-hmm. And also, she's got, like, a little phone she plays music off. I constantly have, you know, when it's normally beside your bed and she's at it.
Yeah.
It makes me want to write my name on it.
Here's the thing, just to make it clear, Bush and I are very much shoulder to shoulder with anyone who writes their name on a possession to stop it getting communally used.
Yeah, if you've been taken advantage of by other people, strangers, people that you love, I think you're well within your rights to write your name on it.
We do it here in the workplace. There's not enough trays in this building for the teas. Now, this home time show is fueled on tea. So what we've gone and done is not only bought our own tea tray, but we've written home time tea tray on it so that no one else can transport their teas around the building. And I think people respect us for it.
I think they do. And when I'm out there making tea sometimes and someone from a different part of the office comes in and looks down at our tray, I think they feel slightly sorry for us. Like, oh, bless you.
So please share with us this afternoon the things that you have had to write your name on so that no one else nicks. It might have gone next level. It might be more than a charger, more than a tea tray. We want to hear what it is. This is a bit different from Mark. He said, we had a food thief at work. I'd had enough. And so I bought some jam-filled donuts, used a syringe and put in Coleman's mustard into each donut. They vanished out of the fridge. However, a member of staff went home after being unwell. Food never vanished again after that.
Wow, that is taking things to the next level, isn't it?
Really is.
What a waste of donuts. That's all I'm thinking.
I agree.
Trey Tracy says, Bush and Richie, I don't actually use the professional hair clipper set I bought. However, due to it constantly disappearing with the lads or the hubby, I wrote on the case, mums, please clean and return when used. It still doesn't work. Some cracking stories coming in. Lucas from Lincoln says, a lad I used to work for called Dave used to shave the back end of his pencil and write his name on it. Obviously, we're not the same pencil, clarifies Lucas. He says, it used to blow my mind, and he still does it to this day.
That's amazing.
That's quite old school styly, isn't it?
I respect the fact he's still doing it to this day, because who's using pencils?
I'd like to use more pencils, but whenever I've got one, the lead always breaks out of it, and I think, why would you even bother in the modern era?
It's a very good question.
If you want to talk more about pencils, I'll be staying on after the show for a web chat.
Boys, I've been waiting to admit this, says this text. No name attached, and you'll understand why. I worked in retail, and I used to keep a 2-litre bottle of squash in the walk-in fridge.
Got a really bad feeling about this text.
But my drink became communal in the summer, but nobody would own up to drinking from it. I therefore filled a decoy bottle with fairy washing up liquid one morning. I never had a sip stolen again.
This, we're getting stories of lovely little cute writing your name on things.
Yeah.
And then people who've done like terrible traps,
yes,
for colleagues.
I agree. So let's be clear.
Yep.
Name on things, yes. Trapping colleagues, no more.
Thanks.
I'm afraid they're still coming.
Okay. Well, okay.
Well, it's not okay.
So far we've had someone inject a donut with mustard,
mm-hmm,
and then someone put washing up liquid in orange squash.
Okay, I'm going to read this slowly. Stop me at whatever point that you think I should stop.
Okay.
I work in heavy aircraft engineering. And a guy used to help himself to other people's food and condiments from the crew room.
Right.
A bloke filled the Parmesan cheese contents with...
I'm going to stop you there.
Okay.
Blankety blank, blankety blank, boom, boom.
Pedicure foot shavings.
What's that?
Don't worry, you'll work it out. This is an amazing story from Ailey in Shropshire. Growing up in the 80s in Australia and being one of three sisters, all of which had big hair needs, my father got so fed up with never being able to find a hairbrush to use himself. So, one day he went out and bought a new hairbrush, drilled a hole through the handle and chained it to the bathroom sink.
I know, you've had to drill my own hairbrush to the sink. I'll wreck off. I'm sick of it.
This one from Summer says, hi guys, in our household we have a love of chocolate with peanuts, apart from my mum, who doesn't. Anyway, call me sad, but once I buy myself a pack of either Snickers or Picnics, I write my name on the label and stick it to the pack. Either way, half the pack still goes missing, even after labelling. Sometimes it doesn't even work.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
So we've got a special show for you tomorrow.
Yeah.
Our Britpop quartets will be in the building tomorrow to record 5 classical versions of Britpop songs for our Britpop summer. And they will be the brilliant Julia Violinista on violin, Isabella Dembinska on cello, Stephanie and Natalie Cavey on violin and viola, respectively. Now, as we said earlier on, part of the deal is that we feed them. We're going to put together, in between performances and recording, what we're going to call a posh picky plate.
Yeah.
So, like, stuff out next to their instruments that they can snack on whilst they're getting ready to do their next take. So we need you to help us out with this because we're a bit out of our depth. What snack would you consider to be posh?
We've got to get this right because everything's going to sound amazing. The Britpop classic songs that they've picked are going to be brilliant. We don't want the whole thing to fall down just on the snacks.
Yes, so, you know, we do feel a little bit out of our depth, but we're trying to work together here to come up with some posh snacks. I mean, I'd throw my hat in the ring and
okay.
I think a Belvita. Individual packed Belvita. That's always struck me as a cut above the rest.
A Belvita?
You know, you get like, in Belvita, you get it's a little bag with 3 very top-end biscuits
in. Yeah.
And they're just, I don't know, they're not your run-of-the-mill, it's not hobnobs, not serving hobnobs to a quartet.
I like a Belvita.
Okay.
There's nothing wrong with the product at all. Whether I consider it high-end, I don't know.
But it's got its own bag.
I know it's got its own bag. But I would say your Belvita is marketed at those people who don't have time for breakfast.
Well, if you're playing tunes, you haven't got time for snacking too much.
I think if you're in a string quartet, I think you have a very fine breakfast. I don't think you skip it.
Quail's eggs. They've had the quail's eggs, they're not hungry.
I see your Belvita. I would put forward quiche.
Oh, quiche.
I think posh people have quiche.
Lorraine? Oh, no, she can't make it. She would have been on Cymbals. I think that's fair play to a quiche. You're going to, like, would you suggest heating it up?
Well, no, you see, here's the thing. Because your quiche is versatile. It can be eaten cold. It can be eaten hot. And we do have a microwave facility.
In fact, it's the only cooking facility we have in the
Correct.
Building. So we could whisk them away and get them warmed up if they so wish.
Yes, to go with their Belvitas.
Ginge says, Dairy Lee Lunchables. The way that you place a little circle of ham and a piece of cheese on the cracker, then eat with the pinky in the air. So posh picky plate, please, ahead of the arrival of our Britpop quartet tomorrow.
This is hit and miss so far, by the way.
It's 50-50. What snack do you consider to be posh? Tell us, we need your help.
I wish the person had added their name to this text because they need the credit. How about this? Surely an Iceland prawn ring.
Oh, now that is next level, isn't it? Imagine, you know, showing it to them. You know the way someone will show you a bottle of wine in a restaurant? They'd be bowled over.
You know, they've just done a fantastic version of Country House.
Yeah.
Put down their quiver. What's it? What's it called?
It's the thing a quiver, that, yeah.
Is it quiver?
Yeah. Quill.
Quill?
No.
Put it down, have a prawn ring.
Yeah, have a prawn ring. Yeah. And they just wouldn't need to know that it's been defrosting with a tea towel on it out the back in our post room. What's it called, Nick? It's a bow, that's what it is.
Oh, it's a bow, right.
Rob in Gunnerside says, Blue Ribbon, the poshest of all chocolate biscuits.
Absolutely.
Is it?
Yes.
I'd say they are a little bit like Penguin, bottom of the biscuit tin.
No,
we only got Blue Ribbon.
No, Blue Ribbon.
The name sounds posh.
Exactly, it's referred to as a Blue Ribbon event.
That's a good, maybe you've got a point there.
Yeah.
I just don't think the chocolate lives up to the billing. Again, this is going to be quite a tough discussion over the next
hour
or so.
Really is, but what a platter this will be.
Some great stuff coming into the show here. Des, the shoe sheriff in Castleford, says, surely the Viscount biscuit is the poshest. I mean, they're the green ones, right? They're the kind of biscuits your nan has. We're not serving nan biscuits to a string quartet. Sorry, Des.
Dylan said, he might be closer here. He says, hear me out, Gillian Shells, but the Lidl alternative. Also, Ice Gem biscuits for an added touch of sweetness.
I think we were linked with Gillian Shells during the transfer window. I've never heard of them before in my life.
Really?
Never heard of them.
Oh, you're missing out. They're very nice. Praline.
Oh, lovely praline. John says, beef and tomato pot noodles served in a silver egg cup. Drink it like a shot. Thanks, mate. That's not exactly what we're after. Let's go to the phones. We've got Alex on the line. Alex, what's your idea for a posh snack then, please?
Oh, I'm putting two ideas together. So the idea from the first hour of the show, things with labels on them, and then the request for picky bits for tomorrow. And so I thought, what about a pyramid of Ferrero Rocher on the home time tea tray?
Wow, what an incredible combination that would be. The Ferrero Rocher, of course, is it the Admiral or the General who throws brilliant parties?
I think it's the Ambassador.
Oh, the Ambassador. So I'm always going around the wrong house.
Alex, if you don't mind us saying, you sound perfectly qualified for what should be on a posh picky plate. You do sound posh.
I don't know what to say to that.
It's a compliment.
I don't think it's not really true. But
well, Alex, let's find out. We can ask you a question. Do you have any porcelain Victorian ladies on your mantelpiece?
No.
What's your thought on Blue Ribbon biscuits?
Not posh enough.
Okay, you're gonna regret getting on this show. That's for sure. Thanks for your suggestion.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely time tomorrow at the party.
I think Adele really could have hit everything on the head here with cheese and pineapple on a stick. When you bear in mind, obviously, we don't want greasy hands with the ladies and the bows and their violas and violins. Cheese and pineapple on a stick, great idea.
That's undercurrent of wake food. It gives me wake vibes. Paul says he sent a photo of Walker's Hot Honey Crisps without any words or anything. Matt Rogers has been on. I can't believe no one's mentioned this so far. Wool's Viennetta.
Yes.
Imagine that with a spoon.
It's going to be hot over the next few days.
It is. We haven't got any way of keeping it cold, so maybe that's off the menu.
Gala pie, says Steve, which is...
I don't know about that.
Side issue, if you've been to a wake and you've had cheese and pineapple on a stick, do let us know.
What a way to be remembered.
Simon, what are you suggesting?
It's a log cabin made of chocolate fingers. Can't get any posher than that.
Is that makeable? Is that doable to arrange chocolate fingers in the style of a house, a log cabin?
Yeah, I think so, mate. Just stack them up in a sort of square shape.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I think what you'd have to do, off the top of my head, having never made a log cabin of chocolate fingers, there'd have to be a mould involved for you then melt the chocolate for the fingers to merge together.
Like dry stone walling or something?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I think you can just alternate, go two across, then two across the other way, and two across like that, and sort of stack it up like that.
But I mean, the quartet are in tomorrow. We could talk it through with them before we get building.
Do you really think chocolatey fingers are going to what they want on their quiver or bow or whatever it was?
I think that's the last thing they want, to be honest with you.
Simon,
you have an eye for dazzling detail and the occasion. We appreciate it.
No problem, mate. Thanks so much. Great music.
Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio. The Daily Takeaway.
Of course, we have our Britpop quartet coming in tomorrow to record five iconic classical songs. Well, Britpop songs and classical stuff, yeah.
Just to check, that is Wednesday evening tomorrow.
That is Wednesday tomorrow.
Good.
So it's Natalie Cavey on viola, Stephanie Cavey on violin, Isabella Dembinska on cello, and the brilliant, the lady who put this all together for us, the listener, amazing Julia Violinista, on violin. And we've picked five songs, so it's going to be exciting.
I love this. I personally feel we sound very highbrow when we talk like this. When you list through the performers and the instruments they're playing, we can sound nothing other than highbrow.
I think this might be the most highbrow we've ever been. And given the snacks that our listeners have been suggesting for our posh picky plate, tomorrow's going to be next level.
This is what they will be playing. This is what we chose yesterday. The Verve's Bittersweet Symphony.
Banger.
The Master Plan from Oasis.
It's going to sound amazing.
Country House from Blur.
I don't know how that's going to sound, but I mean, I love the song, but it'll be a stretch in a classical style, but that's what we're here for.
That's what we're here for. We're breaking new ground. Pulp's Common People.
Beautiful song.
And A Design for Life from the Manic Street Preachers.
Which is a beautifully written song as well.
And obviously, we offered them the choice of Ocean Colour Scenes, The Day We Caught the Train, should they decide that any of the ones that we put forward aren't good enough.
Got a feeling they're going to pass.
Okay.
But the best thing is, we're recording it tomorrow night after the show. In fact, Julia's going to pop in for a chat, which is great. And then you'll be able to hear it in its full glory on Home Time on Thursday. Don't miss it.
Bush and Richie's Daily Takeaway.
Absolute Radio.
That is it for the Daily Takeaway podcast. I love the fact that you've joined the lawn care community at the same time that I've had to tap out this year.
Yes, it's like you've not given up the ghost, but your situation has...
My situation of taking in a puppy dog 4 days before Christmas, 8 months ago, means that I've declared the lawn to be like a Glastonbury fallow year.
Okay.
So I'm just letting nature take its course, i.e. let the dog dig it up, do his business.
He weighs on it and that.
Like scorch it, all that. As it turns out, nature was going to do that anyway. So I do feel like I've been blessed.
But do you think that when you're a dog owner, you're going to get the lawn back at some point?
Yes, next year.
Do you think next year is a big year?
I might be mistaken, but absolutely. March next year, I'm going to aggressively reseed.
Yeah.
And that dog will not be allowed anywhere near it.
Double thumbs up in front of the steps of your house, back open for business.
Not yours.